Guys, quite a day.
I'm excited. I woke up really excited today.
I know you.
I went through audio security that was really surprising.
What is that like? What is that like?
I was doing testing.
Well, it was a lot of ear probing.
Yeah.
So all the wax is out of my both ears right now.
Finally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh huh.
I was testing my connection. Testing. So.
Yeah, but I feel like there's something really special coming.
Well, it sounds like you guys are really cleaned up for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean? Right. Did you do anything?
No, I was just. I got up early because I was nervous about today.
Uh-huh. Well, you good right to be. It's a big day for us because of our listeners, because we're a place that really important folks like the Tim Walz campaign think that this might be a worthy stop. So thank you to you listeners. You guys made this happen, and we are really excited to talk to our next guest. Yeah. So get ready.
We also want to say, I know that a lot of people, you know, come and listen to SmartLess because it's a great place to kind of get away from all the noise and stuff. But
and
we
giggle
do think,
and snap.
Yeah.
And,
but JB, you were talking, like, this is also a really good time to remind people that they need to...
Yeah, that they don't need to vote, but they should vote. They could vote. Yeah. We happen to have our own opinions that become pretty, apparent and evident just because we're on the side of common sense. But just vote. A lot of people got hurt or killed or whatever, trying to secure that right for all of us.
Yep.
Let's just go use it. We only get to do it once every, few years.
And I think you're right. And again, it can't be said enough, which is even if you don't agree with us, that's okay. But still get out and vote. It's still important. We all have that right. And I respect your right to do it. And you should respect mine.
Jay, when you said common sense, do you think I have a lot of common sense?
It's an all-new smart list.
Smart.
By the way, dinner was really good last night.
Was it?
Yeah, it was really good.
What did we have? Oh, I know what we had. We had burgers, right?
Burgers.
Did you bring a dessert, Sean?
I brought a ton of dessert.
You did.
Did you really?
Listen, I'm not even kidding. I brought brownies, Rice Krispie Treats, banana muffins.
Sorry, I just want to stop and say, I thought for you, Rice Krispie cakes were for breakfast.
It's breakfast.
That was
breakfast. Well, this is true. Well, that's the great thing about them. You can eat them any time of the day.
That is the great thing about them. You're right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Will, you tried each one of those things?
I did not have one.
No. How about that?
He's pretty disciplined about the sugar right
now. Yes. And then I told you, Will, by the time I get home, I will have a bowl of ice cream, and I did.
Oh my God.
And I said to Sean, we were talking about sleep, which has been a recurring theme for us. And he was talking about his poor sleep hygiene and waking up or not being able to go to bed. And I said, what are you having at night? And he goes, nothing. This will be it. This will be my meal. And he goes, and when I get home, I might have some ice cream. I go, well, there it is.
Anyway, let's get to our guest.
Whose guest is this? I've not heard of this fella.
It's America's guest.
It's America's guest. There are only a few times, probably less than five, I don't know, on this show, this thing that we do, where the guest, all three of us know who the guest is because they're a big freaking deal. And today is one of those shows. And I speak for all three of us when I say that this is a huge honor to have him come speak with us for a bit. He's many things, all of which we'll get into shortly, from the Army National Guard to teacher to congressman to governor to so many other things. But to me, he's the quintessential all-American dad I never had. Oh, and he's also a coach, something else I could probably use in my life. Currently running to be the next vice president of the United States of America. Please welcome Tim Walz.
There he is.
Yeah.
Hi,
hello
Tim.
There. Well, hang on. Well, how do you like to be addressed?
Just Tim.
Just Tim.
I stick to that.
God, I love you so much.
I will say this though. We did a trade mission to London, and the hello governor stuff. I just lived on it for the entire week. So,
hello, governor.
Hello, governor.
And it wasn't ironic. It was like real.
I know. Like, that's hysterical.
It was better. Yeah. No. Tim is great.
Tim, I want to get because I saw Will last night. Jay, we missed you. You were at the Dodgers game.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I should have skipped the Dodger game. They got waxed.
No, but we were talking about sleep. I always talk about sleep with these guys because I've always had trouble. And then I'm like, you got thrown into this campaign.
I can't
obviously
wait
late
to hear
in the game.
Where this is going.
No, I want to know. It's a very dumb Sean Smartless question. Is your sleep hygiene? Like you go 20, it seems like you go 24 hours a day just going for this and then this. You have to do all
Sean's
you have to
worried,
do.
Tim, that you're not getting enough sleep.
Yeah. That's what I'm worried about. That's my question.
When do the naps happen?
How do you get where the energy comes from?
Well, you know, the good thing is, you know, old men need less sleep or whatever, I guess. Look, I do not sleep that much. It's I've been using this saying, you know, it's kind of my catch thing. I said, you know, we'll sleep when we're dead. And I had a woman come up to me and goes, you're taking this too literally. You look like hell, man. She meant it well, but I'm trying.
I'm always fascinated by that, about schedule. Like, the schedule's full all day, every day. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, well, it's a privilege to do it, but you're right. My daughter keeps me on this. She got one of these rings, you know, monitor your sleep, whatever.
Yeah,
she
thinks
I need one of those, but I think that will just tell me what I already know. I'm not getting any sleep. That's all it'll say.
Tim, let me just say this. As somebody, I haven't done the ring, but I've done the Apple Watch thing, whatever. Yeah. And I will say.
The great Apple Watch.
The great Apple Watch.
Jason wants a free Apple Watch.
No, it's just because they're listening. Oh, don't worry. He already got it.
I think it's really good stuff. I think these Apple folks are onto something. It's great work.
Tim, by the way, we should be called, not smartly, we should be called Shameless. And if there's any product out there you've got your eye on, just mention it and we'll have them send
that
it to you.
That new 16 Pro, guys, it's really working.
So, but I was going to say about that watch, those sleep tracking things, I got into it for a while. And I think your daughter's right because you go like, okay, well, where can I? But then at the end of the day, what ends up happening is you start feeling bad. So I wake up and I go, I think I did okay. And then I'm like, oh my God, I only got three hours of REM. And then I got sleep panic set in.
Yeah.
It is just the thing. I think seeing the one thing about this is there is an end state, if you will, on November 5th. So you just kind of put your mind into it and say, look, there will be a time when this ends.
Oh, really?
That's probably not true.
You think things get calm after the 5th?
No, I don't. But it's the trick I play myself. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, but team is good. I'm surprisingly... and you wouldn't know it by looking at me. I'm a pretty dedicated runner. I run about 5 times a week.
Oh, that's great.
How far do you go?
I go a 5K usually, between 3 and 5 miles. And I'm like, for an old guy, I'm kind of freakishly fast, you know. nine minute miles, little less or whatever, which is, and you know, people are like, oh my God, that's a world record for a man your age.
Now, Tim, you can't, as governor, you had security detail. Were you running with, or were you on a treadmill?
I do a treadmill quite a bit of the time, but you have to get outside, and my team knows, so like wherever, we're anywhere. And you know, here a while back after we finished that debate, the next morning I got to run in Central Park. And it was
nice.
Oh, that's great.
We ran that reservoir route.
Of course,
it's just stunning. And I'm still truly, you know, the small town guy enough. I have not spent much time in New York. It just blows me away when I'm there.
Yeah, it's nice.
Incredible.
And that morning, you know, so many great people. It was, you know, kind of good for the psyche. Oh, good job, Governor. Yeah, you know, and I'm like, oh, thank goodness. And they're, of course, super surprised I'm running too, so it was like a double positive.
I like the idea of you running in Central Park, looking around, and really, because you haven't been there a lot, taking it in, twirling around, not unlike Mary Tyler Moore did in Minneapolis.
That is surprisingly close to how it was.
I think we'll make it after all.
Now, Tim, when you're running, do you have AirPods in? Are you listening to music? Are you listening to...
Rarely, sometimes. I'm kind of zen on that. I got into it, you know, and then I got into the Garmin watch, and then I got in on the timing, and, you know, how fast my miles
were. Looking for a freebie
were.
Now.
Yeah. But I kind of let that go, and I kind of, you know, run by feel. Trying to get into it. And I do think there's something, and especially like when I'm in Minneapolis, you know, I got a state trooper, but it's pretty calm. They're running behind or whatever.
Right.
Folks who run leave their, I'm convinced of this, dog folks and runners, they leave politics out of it because they know it's your time. So it's really refreshing that people talk to you like a runner, not like you're the governor or something. So like, you know, looking good or whatever.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite subject that you do like to talk about that is not politics? Like, are you a sport? I know you're a sports guy, but like, do you love talking about the Vikings or the Cornhuskers or whatever it is, or reality television, or what do you like to talk about that's kind of nice and silly?
Yeah, I think cars. I grew up at a time. Yeah. You guys are a little younger than me. This whole Cars thing, I think we were much more into it. You know,
the Pixar movie?
I remember.
I'm kidding.
I apologize for him.
So, but I just think like classic cars. I've never really owned that many, but you know the cars you have. I watched the cars I used to own. You know, I grew up in high school and had a beautiful Camaro, you know, at the time, and then I traded it for a Honda Civic. And now you watch these auction shows, and I'm like, damn it, that car's worth $80,000 now. Yeah. And I traded it for a Honda Civic worth $2,000.
Exactly. I had, my mom gave me this, like, I kicked and screamed in high school. I'm like, please, can I just have a car? She bought me like a $200 car. It had like rust all over it. And my friend Raina, you know Raina. Oh, yeah. These guys know Raina. She called it Grease Lightning. And she's like, you taking Grease Lightning to school today?
Now, what horrible. About, are you really into the sound of a combustion engine, or are you into the
sound the clean, of an electric engine,
the clean power of an of electric?
Look, whole spectrum, the whole spectrum of this. I was in Phoenix for it was a governor's event or whatever, and there's folks there displaying their wares, and the Lucid folks were there with their fastest production car ever. You put any Lamborghini out there, this thing, and it was like inside a spaceship. Oh, this thing's like 1.8 seconds in the quarter. I mean, it's 0 to 60. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole new world. And I have never yet owned a fully electric, but they're fascinating. So
yeah,
I'm so excited that every single car brand now has a fully electric car. And you know, I don't want to throw undue shade towards Mr. Musk, but I got to tell you, his politics is, I got rid of my Tesla. I feel like I'm driving around a Trump sticker with that car. So it's gone, and I am now enjoying
I call it the crypto truck.
It's just,
thing. Yeah. This is for me. And I said, my prized possession is that I've had it for a long time. I got a 79 International Harvester. You know, they used to give these things away.
Scout, too.
There you go. Look, you guys hear that? He's on this thing. So, but yeah, these things are, you used to get it. If you bought a tractor, they threw in the Scout for you.
It was the original
SUV. Yeah, there was a, you know, back in the late 70s. So mine was right before they went out of business. It was 1979.
They went out of business. They're getting their trucks.
They were the precursors of SUVs. But here's the deal. 40 years ago, at the end of October, is when they closed. They were made in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So on that date this year, they're announcing the new Scout, bringing it back fully electric.
Come on.
So,
kidding.
So an International Harvester Scout, that famous name tape is back. Yeah. Volkswagen bought it. And so they're launching that thing. So I'm I talk about. And it's the car stuff, because it's such a,
you got to go do Dax Shepard's podcast, because he'll talk to you for 3 days about cars.
I love these guys. And the guys who are so smart tell me how to do it. Look, I'm tinker on the edges. These are guys that can, you know, replace a transmission stuff. I love that. I said, when I get done with this, I'm gonna go back to like community college and learn like body work. You know, just a sense of accomplishment that you can fix your own vehicle. Yeah. You can put on a new quarter panel. You can paint it.
Sean, you took body work in high school, right? Like a lot of Reiki and stuff like that.
If you broke down on the side of the road, are you one of those guys that can just pop the hood and look under there and kind of look around and see like, oh, there's the problem?
Yeah, some of it. Some of it I can. But look, on these new ones, I don't even know how to open the hood. I will say that. I sound like these. I'm the old guy. These newfangled. But the cars that you used to be able to do, my kids, it would blow their mind, like some of the stuff we could fix, like my vehicle's overheating. I said, it's the thermostat. And you'd show them how to take it out, put it in boiling water, pop the thermostat.
I was going to say, kids don't know that stuff anymore. They don't. And there's some, Jason calls his agent if he gets a flat tire.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's the truth, Tim. You need to know the truth about this guy. But, I mean, he's a Hollywood elitist, liberal elitist. But
I'm on the corner of Sunset Boulevard.
But honestly, if my car starts to go da-dunk, da-dunk, and I'm pulling over, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, same.
Makes you feel powerless. I said, I think showing my kids some of these things that you can try and repair, I like doing it. Now, look, we all know that's also very, very dangerous, because I don't know sometimes, and I start taking stuff apart, and then you're like, well, here's six extra screws, and there's no idea where they're going. There's a bit of that with me.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, speaking of your kids, which one of them or you or your wife gets most pissed off when somebody calls you Waltz instead of walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter probably.
Yeah, it's a it's a whole new wave of it now, right?
Yeah.
What are people's problems? Walls.
Yeah, there's no tea.
Yeah, there's no tea.
It seems pretty easy that But you know, in all fairness, I probably when we immigrated from Germany, they probably dropped the tea.
Well, this is the last wave of it. Like you cannot get more famous than you are now. So everyone is now finally got it. I guarantee
it. Yes. Tell me what that. I know this is like a stock answer, but I really want to know what that feeling was like and the reaction when you got the call from Kamala. I mean, that was so wild.
Well, you know the story. In typical me fashion, I missed the first one.
Sure, you did.
I thought it was like, you know, a car warranty call coming in, so I didn't take it. And truly, no one knew. Like, this was her decision. And that Tuesday morning, no one knew. And then I got another call and said, pick up your damn phone. And then called back.
Your warranty may be expiring.
It was overwhelming. It was an incredible privilege. But I heard you guys talking, and I listened to the Ted Danson and Woody Harrelson piece about, you know, imposter syndrome. Trust me, when the Vice President of the United States calls you and said you're on the ticket with me.
Yeah,
it sinks in.
Pretty cool. Fast.
Yeah.
Have you allowed yourself to really imagine and start to build like a possible wish list of things that you would like to be given the reins to when you guys win?
Well, this is one, and I think it's just your mental health of compartmentalizing things. Still focused on this final stretch that's ahead of us, still thinking about that. I trust the vice president will make her decision on that. You know, I said I wasn't interviewing for a job when I talked to her. I said, use my skill sets. If you need to plunk me in Omaha to win one vote, send me there. Uh-huh. Just what it would help. And I think she, and it feels really right to me. She talks about, you know, a kid from Oakland, a kid from Nebraska, middle-class kids, kind of complementary things. We've lived different lives, but we have the same values. So I would assume she would know. You know, my passion is kids and teaching. Yeah. And education. And that's it.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
We were just talking with somebody recently about this idea of like getting nervous when you're putting it in a position like this and getting a call from the vice president saying, hey, you're on the ticket. Probably makes you feel nervous. But I wonder if when something like this happens, it's almost like a thing that you can't even dream about. At least certainly I couldn't. So it's almost like you can't get even nervous because it's so far beyond what you...
That's great.
I can get nervous about things that I think about doing, but if something comes that's new...
No, that's a great analogy. I mean, think of that day. This was a Tuesday morning. We got the call. Within 20 minutes, my life changed. Like, you know, I said, I'm minding my own damn business at home, and all of a sudden it blows up.
It should be noted, Tim, I did turn it down. I was the first call, and then Tim was the second
call. No,
I'm just, we're being honest.
But they sweep in. You've got all these folks around you. They pack your clothes for you and tell you. You go in and get on a private plane, which is, I've never flown on a private plane to do this. So they fly you to Philadelphia.
Jason, that's funny because Jason's never not.
Yeah.
I wish.
I was waiting for it.
Well, they take you to Philadelphia. And then I told them when they were interviewing me, I said, look, I've never given a speech off a teleprompter. I speak and it has its problems. And I told them
kidding.
You'll get about 90% good and then you'll get 10% stuff you'll have to clean up. That's me because that's how I talk.
Yeah.
But they sent me there. They put me in the back of a college locker room, and they had mocked up the stage I was going to go on in about an hour and put the speech on the teleprompter. And so I practiced it a little bit, and then I'm standing at that door in Philadelphia.
Oh my God.
12,000-15,000 people waiting to see the vice president in this announcement. Yeah. She and her standing out on the curtain, and she's like, you know, well, get this right. And so it opened up, and that's what it was. But you're right. I think your analysis is right. It was just too big to get nervous about it. Yeah. I didn't have time to think about it.
Well, you didn't seem right. When you came out, it was so terrific, and it felt like, here we go.
Yeah.
It, honestly, Tim, it really felt like, here we go. We are entering into a new age, and thank God Tim is the guy, and Tim is here. And there are a lot of other great candidates, for sure.
And that authenticity and that genuine joy and happiness and privilege that, that you must be feeling, it comes through, and it's just so damn refreshing. Was it hard for you to maintain that down-to-earth personality, which you clearly have, when you got into politics, where most of your fellow politicians either have to be or have learned to be overly polished and slick. Is it disheartening for you to be around so many colleagues that are like that? It's just, you're so refreshing.
Well, yeah. It's a different approach, and I always say this, that I never, and honest to God, I never thought about running for office. Wow. I have a whole life before this, teaching National Guard in my community and things like that. But I think my life prepared me well. And so I approach like, you have got to be pretty self-aware and pretty humble to teach high school for a lot of years. But it's also so gratifying. And I think one of the things is that I'm super sensitive to this idea. These are servant leadership positions. This isn't a special thing that you've been granted. Your job is to work for people. And I try and approach it like I was hired to teach kids in school, so I need to do my best job, you know, that
I
can
possibly.
And I've been hired to be a representative. And I took great pride that I was very bipartisan. This idea that we can't figure things out. My staff, we always had a saying that, you know, if the facts dispute our ideology, we change our ideology. It's that simple. You're not married to it. So a lot of times I don't have an ideological dog in a fight. It's just what the facts show. And I think trying to approach these things like problem solving, you're working with people, you're trying to do your best. I'll be the first to admit it has been really challenging with Donald Trump. You know, I won a congressional race in 2016. Donald Trump won my district by double digits, nearly 20%.
Wow.
So thousands of people voted for Donald Trump and me on that. That was only a few years ago. Now, would that be true today? Probably not. They've continued to. But I think trying to focus on what the job is, that it's a humbleness and it's not your whole identity. I watch these folks try and hang on to these jobs and things like that. And it's everything. If the folks don't want me to do it, they won't do it. But I'm telling you, here's what we can do.
Yeah,
you know, Tim. You know, first of all, I hope and congrats, and I really do hope that your run, as you say, you were a high school teacher and a coach, and you had no sort of political aspirations. I hope that you deciding to do it inspires other people like you who are leaders in their community and who aren't looking to enrich themselves, who aren't looking for anything other than to serve. I hope that inspires other people to do what you've done, because that's what we need.
I meet hundreds every day.
They won't
though, because of the money and because of what they're afraid will happen if they get into it.
And because of things like social media and their lives will get upended and all that.
And security.
Yeah, we were speaking of the overwhelming thing on this back during that debate. You know, they drove me through Times Square to see my picture up on those big screens. And so somebody said, "You look nervous." No kidding. I'm sitting there freaking out on this thing. But I'm honest to God, before things went live, I'm standing there and I'm like, there's 345 million people in this country, and it's me and this dude. That is just not right.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, it's kind of overwhelming, but that kind of got rid of my imposter syndrome and said, look, I know that I know what's right. I know who I am. I'm trying to
just
do right
go back to your values. And,
yes.
And if you leave.
So Will's point is this, that I do hope people do this. I do hope they get out there because we need them. We need good people.
Well, so I was going to say, and then you know, what do you think it was when you talk about having a guy like Donald Trump getting double digits in your district? What do you think it was that allowed people to convince themselves that he would be, you know, when I see that these top unions are deciding like, well, we don't know if we can endorse an actual candidate this year because they're worried about their membership, union member. Imagine this, union members who want to support Donald Trump, the guy who wants to do nothing, but who has nothing but disregard for them.
Yeah.
It's staggering. And I'm sure I could get a million comments back on this. Somebody on one of our social pages, people would say, "Hey, F you, Arnett, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never..." First of all, I have had lots of real jobs, so I say right back at you. But also, this is a guy who doesn't have any regard for the American family, doesn't have any regard for hardworking people, doesn't have any regard, would bust a union as quicker than you can imagine. So what is it about that they've been able to fool these people?
In rank and file union members, one thing. Look, the leadership in unions, that's more political than what I'm doing. They have to cover their butt on their things. And I'm as frustrated as you are on this, Will. But the one thing I do think about, you wonder what happened. The first thing I think of, there's not something wrong with my constituents. These are good people trying to go to work and do things. And like the New York Times sends somebody out every few weeks to interview a guy at a bar and figure out what happened to rural America. These are my family. I've lived there. I do think one of the things, I always said this as a teacher, if I would give an exam or something and a majority of students would not do well, probably had a little something to do with me in there. Was I not getting it across? And so I think some of it is how we've messaged this. I don't think that's the full blame on it. Certainly Donald Trump is a master of manipulation, a master of what new media look like. But I do think there's some ways is what are we not doing to appeal to those ranks? Look, I'm a union member. I think, you know, that's what I did. And I get a lot of union support, but I know there's some rank and file members. And so they're not monolithic. It's not their only issue, but
right. But
I say this, and I'm kind of with you on this, Will. The rest of it is you don't have to worry about all the rest of that stuff if you're not in a union, because you're not going to get paid as well. You're not going to have a pension. You may not have health care. You better focus on the things that matter. Stay in your lane. And so they've done a good job of distracting on things that are the cultural war stuff rather than the bread and butter.
Right.
It seems like if those folks were slightly more sort of curious or discerning when it comes to news, information, facts, maybe they wouldn't make that decision, and maybe they would be more prone to vote for you guys instead of him. Can you as a teacher track that back or attribute that to something that we're not doing right in schools?
Because
I just feel like it's just common sense to me. It seems like there's a clear choice for everyone in this country, if you just want to take just preserving democracy alone, who to vote for. But all these smaller issues, it does seem like pretty easy if you just look a little bit further than, you know, Fox News or whatever, you would see, oh, all the facts are on the side of going this direction instead of that direction. And maybe does it start at schools?
Well, this maybe, but this is where I think Vice President Harris is focusing really rightly. This idea of middle class doesn't sound like anything so groundbreaking, but this idea of housing and down payment assistance, this idea of cost now, this idea of child tax credit. Because the one thing I will say, Jason, on this is that these guys on the other side have created an economy which many of the people you're talking about are busting their ass just to get by. They don't have time to spend a lot on this. They're trying to figure out how to afford childcare. They're trying to figure out how to make things work. They see inflationary prices go up, and we may say, look, inflation is higher everywhere else in the world. They don't care about that because that's impacting with them. They hear a guy like J.D. Vance say egg prices went up. Yeah, because of bird flu. They don't care about bird flu. They just know egg prices went up. So I do think there's a part. Certainly discerning on media is something. My wife used to teach a course on modern media, language and logic, trying to think through that. But I think part of it is these guys have, as we were saying on this, they've shifted wealth to the point where the wealth gap is staggering. When you see it in a graphic, people can't believe how truly bad it is. And what's stuck on that is a whole bunch of people trying to get through their lives. And Donald Trump has told them, you know, where to put the blame. Rather than that,
so the wealth gap has never been bigger. And
never.
And I remember saying this 10, 20 years ago, how that gap was widening. And now we're at this place. And if people think for 1 minute that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance give two craps about the middle class, they're looking to do tax cut to the richest Americans, to these billionaires, to give tax cuts to those, when the people who need the tax cuts are the people right in the middle who drive this country, who have made this country what it is.
When you do that, Minnesota's listed as, you know, the Republicans always say it's a high tax state. We're home to many Fortune 500 companies, but high concentration. But we have what's rated as the fairest tax system. It's a progressive tax system. If you don't make as much, you don't pay as much. If you make more, you pay more. Look what ends up happening that.
Yeah.
Top five business state. Top three place to raise kids, top place for healthcare.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Longest longevity. Look,
that's
we're not
amazing.
Perfect. I mean, and it's cold as hell here in the winter. So there's things that happen. But
I thought you controlled the weather, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, if we did, it would not be 40 below up here. But you're right. This idea of making the case to people that this works. And look, this isn't class. You know, they said, you know, you're engaging in class warfare. They already won the war almost on that, the guys on the other side.
Yeah.
But this is about a sense of fairness. And it's stunning to me that I thought one of the you know, my killer lines in this that would the middle class would say, do you think it's fair Donald Trump doesn't pay tax? That doesn't seem fair. And a lot of people are like, well, he's successful. He knows how to work the system. That's disappointing to me.
Work the system. I imagine if put it this way, if my dad gave me $400 million, I'd be a hell of a lot richer than Donald Trump is.
I guarantee you would.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You could have put it in a CD. Got 50%.
Exactly. And not touch it.
Yeah. What do you think would be the best way or easiest way to penetrate that bubble that they all seem to be firmly inside of, as far as giving them the information that you know they need and could sway their vote? Like, do you literally have to go to town hall meetings in some of these deep red districts? Does it mean being on Fox News a little bit more often? Like, how do you get to them?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, we have folks. Pete Buttigieg goes on Fox News quite a bit. And he's one of our best spokespeople. Yeah, and go on and just talk to folks, because I don't think we can assume that all of them are not there. Like the vice president making that case, getting out there, going to place. They, you know, we're going into some of these pretty red areas. And I this is another one of the vice president's things that I think when they feel this and people can see it, we're getting off a bus tour in rural Pennsylvania, and one side of the street has our supporters and the other side of the street's not. I said, they always make it easy for us. They're all in the same hat so we can see and we know who they were. But she didn't blink, and it wasn't performance art. The only people there were her husband and my wife and I. And she said, Tim, don't ever forget, we work just as hard for folks on this side of the street as on the other side of the street. Mm-hmm. You start to see some of the results of that, and we're seeing it in Minnesota. It's pretty hard. Like, the vice president's advocating for this child tax credit. We implement it on the state level, lowers childhood poverty. Some of this stuff starts to make sense. And you have to, I'm a school teacher, so I talk Maslow's hierarchy, you know. You can't get to self-actualization about things if people are worried about their safety and their hunger and things like that.
Right.
Show people that these policies help make them more money. People are willing to tackle climate change if their lights come on and their bills don't go up. They don't care where the power comes from. In fact, most people would rather see it come from renewables. But I think sometimes we say, well, why can't you see we have to save the planet on this? How about we just create a whole bunch of new union jobs like they did with this proposal, a whole bunch of opportunities?
Yeah.
That's so great. And you
great
know, it's interesting. You know, one of the things that I noticed about you and Vice President Harris is that the way that you guys talk, that sort of antidote you gave about the vice president talking about we work for all Americans, there is that sense on that a lot of the people who vote Republican talk about red, blue, blah, blah, blah. You guys don't talk as much about that. You guys talk about all
the
Americans.
The divisiveness.
Because, you have to, right? I mean, we're all here. We all live here. We all, you know.
And I think like secretly that. We all want to get along.
Of course.
Of course, we do.
I think we all really want to.
Human survival.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a sort of a fun kind of this team, that team sort of, I mean, just speaking to you as a coach, and I'm a big sports fan too, like there's a lot of fun being on one side versus the other, and you kind of watch the scoreboard and then like, you know, the standings throughout the year. Like, but that people are bringing this now into politics is literally dangerous at this point. And so like, if they could just get a little bit more into their local team and stop being so sort of tribal and competitive and just think about this unity a little bit more.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Jason, I'm a geographer by training. I love maps except one. Whoever built the red-blue map did more damage than you would ever imagine.
Yeah.
Because you look at that map and you look at South Dakota and say, oh, South Dakota's all red or whatever. That's not true.
No.
That is not true. There's a mix.
Yeah.
Or even you look at an urban area and say, well, that's blue, everybody in there. That's not true either. And they created this false mindset for us because it's very visual.
It's a good note for the newscasters. They should, instead of having that big map during election time, they should literally split each state into blue and red justice and then show the percentages rather than color at one color.
I just want to go on the record as saying, just out of deference to you, Tim, and what you're doing in the office that you're seeking, that I have withheld a really good joke because it was in really poor taste.
We'll get it in the wrap-up, Will.
Well, we
I'll do
get
it in the
now.
Wrap-up, but I just wanted you to know that. That's how much respect I have for
is
you.
Is it about me?
Yes, of course. But but it could be, but I could also make it about Jason, too. I could.
There's plenty there. Yeah.
There's plenty.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
You know, I for me, the one of the issues that I want to get to, and sorry if this is, seems very abrupt, but I think the issue for me that needs to be taken head on and we need to talk about, and I can't believe that there's any debate in talking about it, considering that it's 2024, is women's health care.
Yep.
And yeah, for absolutely.
For me, it is number one this year. Women's health care, and we... The fact that it's even up for debate is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I look, there's household names now of women who should have been able to have their own private health care kept to themselves, who are thrust into the national light because they had to go through horrific situations that should have been as simple as health care being delivered. And look, this is something that's taken a while, and I think for all of us on here, men need to know how to talk about it. Men need to know, you know, how women's bodies work and how doctors understand that.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that has changed. I agree with you. I said, you know, a while back in the debate, it took a long time for them to get around to two most important issues, the issue of women's bodily autonomy and the democracy. Seems like those would have been two questions to come out of the chute with.
But, yeah. What's that great quote or question from Kamala Harris to one of the Supreme Court people about, can you think of a law that does the same for a male body? And it's like... Yeah. There it is. It's all in that question.
It is that simple. And everything stems from that. And these guys are not going to stop. I talk about it the whole, you know, they're all over us. I don't want to have to talk with my wife and I infertility issues and trying to use IUI.
Yeah, yeah.
And there isn't a person out there, there isn't a woman out there who's seeking health care, who's doing, who wants to talk about it or is in a position who feels good about doing it. Nobody's going out there. That's the other thing. It's like, you know, abortion, right, or whatever. Do you think this is something that everybody's looking for? That if this is a place that people are in a great place in their life?
I'm with you, Will. Who's asking for this agenda?
Yeah,
who's asking for tax cuts for billionaires? Who's asking to repress women on this?
Right.
I said this, dude. You think
bunch
the guys
of men.
So they go,
rich
well, you
men.
Think they're sitting around in the bar in Wisconsin saying, you know what we really need to do? We need to ban Orwell's books and we need to give billionaires a tax cut and we need to repress women. Let's hope not. Hope not. I hope they're talking about we need better jobs. We need to make sure, you know, I can't afford to pay for daycare.
Right.
Tackle these issues. And I think we, as you know, this is what Kamala's putting out. Let's really tackle the issues and show them that we're going after these things. But you know, when we start to do that, they don't want to talk about it because they got no plan. Listening to them talk about healthcare, listening to Donald Trump ramble about protecting pre-existing conditions, it's terrifying to me. If you want to be president of the United States or vice president, you should at least have a working knowledge how insurance works and how healthcare works.
Amen.
And they don't.
You should have a working knowledge of how anything works. it's absurd. If we ever wanted to have a real conversation and you had to remove the word salad and you were like, no, the moment you deviate from the question, you're out. It would be...
Or that an injection of bleach is just not a real good remedy for anything that ails you. You know, like that that should be pretty simple.
But it is why I have alabaster skin. Listen, I want to ask you something. You know, just as a sidebar, Tim, when you first came on the scene, you started talking about that program you started in Minnesota about free lunches in schools.
Yeah.
That blew my mind because my mom raised five kids by herself. I was the youngest, and I would go to school, and I wouldn't have lunch.
I just
wouldn't eat.
That's right.
We didn't have the money.
Pretty hard to learn.
You sure made up for it.
Pretty hard to learn.
You're all caught up, Sean. Pump it.
It's so
crazy. We don't come in and ask them, where's your money for the heat today? You know,
we
put new windows in the schools. Where's your money, kid, to have that?
Exactly. Yeah.
So this idea, and look, it's that simple philosophy of the investing. Every dollar you invest in early childhood, you get 12 back.
Yes, I love that.
And
where did you get all that growing up? Like, where did you get this drive to be the servant of, like, and by the way, thank you for all your public service. And
yeah, well, I think about it, and I, you know, when you're older, it's a lot of things that come in, certainly from parents and small community. But I gotta be honest with you, I grew up Catholic, and at that time, it was about service and the Catholic nuns, you know, you get the little thump in the back of the head thinking you're too big for your own britches, and it really was New Testament. to the least amongst us type of stuff. I don't talk about it. You don't need people to give you a sermon in elected office, but try and live one a little bit, you know, try and do something.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it was from that. I feel very blessed by that. And it's, you know, it's different now. My wife converted me to Lutheranism, which is basically Catholicism with more singing, but that's about the difference.
I'm in.
But it's
I'm
the
in.
Same. It's the same type of principle. So I think that's what it was. And again, we have a saying, we have a great senator who died way too early in Paul Wellstone, who said, we all do better when we all do better. And it's this sense of servant leadership, the sense of putting back in, and you benefit. And we keep talking about this school meals piece of it. You get better achievement. You get better students in school. And so even if you remove the moral aspect of feeding a child, you actually save money. So if you're just heartless and don't want to pay higher taxes, you save, you get $12 return on that. And so I said the simplification is you can buy school buses and school meals, or you can buy prison buses and prison meals. You make the decision where you want to invest, and it's much better.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Of course, it makes so much sense to invest in the future, to invest in ourselves, to invest in our kids. That's what's going to help us. And because otherwise, if it rots beneath, you know, if that doesn't get supported, then there is no future. Right.
That's right. And public schools for all of us are it. And this is in rural areas that I keep thinking about, these folks who want to voucherize. So you're going to have your voucher. So here's your voucher. You get a small tax credit or whatever, but your public school closes. Where are you going to send them? Where's that private school when you're out in a town like I was at 400? The idea that the community invested, and I had wonderful public school teachers who were teaching in a small school with, you know, 20 kids in a class, coming every day prepared to do that. What a sense of investment they all made. And I think, you know, from that kind of servant leadership, but watching the people around me, you know, the old Mr. Rogers thing, when you need somebody, find the helper. The helpers were all over, and they were doing this. There's some of that.
I love that. I used to, you know, just talking to you, like Jason said earlier, you're just so, I can see you as a teacher. I mean, I didn't have you as a teacher, but you remind me of, like,
I love you as a teacher.
You seem like the greatest teacher ever, where all the kids just effing love you.
Well, it's a privilege of my life. Now, my wife said, you know, I was the fun teacher, and she's the teacher that kids came back 10 years later and say, thank you for teaching me English. And so Mr. Wells was a barrel of fun, but, you know, but I learned English.
Do you guys have a similar dynamic in parenting? Is she the disciplinarian and you're kind of the fun guy?
Yeah, she's amazing. If you've seen her, and she can do anything, she is just the quintessential Lutheran Minnesota woman. Yeah, and she's great. We're partners in this. I feel blessed that we got together. But, you know, just to be clear, she was much more political than me early. She would watch the conventions. I'm like, I'm not watching the conventions. It's summer. I'm going golfing or something.
Right.
She paid attention. She knew it all. I didn't. She knew who people were. I'm like, I don't know who the senator from North Carolina is. And she would know them all. So,
So, Tim, let me ask you this. You're a coach. You're a teacher, but you're a coach. And I love the idea, you know, that you're coaching teams. And so I just think you'd be awesome. It's, you know, we're looking at the clock. We got 2 minutes left in this election, and the team, which is America, is at the sideline. What are you saying? What are you saying to us? What do we need to do to kind of, you know, to get a W here for our country?
Yeah, I've been given,
not just in the election, but in general for America.
Look, it's a privilege. I mean, I wish we weren't in this situation. I wish this thing were a blowout. It's not going to be. It's going to come down to the hard work. But the sense of privilege here, this isn't about the next 4 years. This is about the next 40. And you're hearing from your people you know around the world. The rest of the world's looking for us to do the right thing here. And I think to be a part of that, and everybody to be the little things they can do, whether it's door knocking, whether it's going on and giving what little they have, you know, donations that people give, $10, that's a lot for a lot of people. They do something else, and they give the help. I think it's this idea that you can be part of something bigger, and that's what people want. That's the whole thing about teams. Like the kids who enjoyed being on football teams the most is the kid who got in on kickoffs, because you're going to play everybody. He wasn't the best athlete maybe, but that kid was there because he was with his buddies. He was with his team. And I think for Americans, this idea, we can be in this. We don't have to agree, and I'm not naive. This is tough. There's folks that don't agree on anything. Mm-hmm. But I think the vast majority of people realize it doesn't need to be this way. And I give Kamala Harris full credit.
Yeah,
this idea of joy, and I watch the Wall Street Journal poo-poo joy. Well, I'll take joy over being, like, crabby and awful and no one wants to be around
you. Me too.
That's what she's doing, and politics can be that way. Look, Donald Trump wants to make it would be easier, I guess he's saying, is just elect one person forever and let them make the decisions. This democracy stuff is hard.
Thanks.
It's messy. It's difficult, and it's frustrating. But it's the best that's been devised.
Yeah, and it's the best path towards community. And we'll let you go, but I want to ask you, sort of building on that notion of community and everybody coming together, and after you guys win, what do you think might possibly be a big give that you and Kamala could possibly offer to the folks who didn't vote for you guys, that we get them so happy or so comfortable that they would feel good about uniting with the rest of the country, getting back to a bit
other
more.
Other than they'll get more jobs and they'll save for lives.
Right, yeah, that notion of kind of becoming one big happy family, and like not just the standard speech about, I want to be president for all, but something maybe taken directly from the Republican platform or their agenda that would be felt as that give or that offer that would come across and have the effectiveness of like an olive branch, Mm-hmm. Have you thought about that?
Well, she said it, and I agree with her. She needs to appoint a Republican to the cabinet. I do think it matters to a position of authority. And look, there's a lot of them out there. These folks who are coming out and speaking on behalf of these Republicans, I disagree with many of them. Their values are there. I served with these people. People like Jeff Flake, the senator from Arizona. Super conservative, but that man is as honest as anything. I've dealt with him. Jim Langford, who wrote the big piece of the immigration bill.
That they killed. Yeah.
I served with him. That guy is the most conservative person I ever met, but he's also one of the most honorable. Some of these people need to be put in a position where they truly have the ability to influence things.
That's awesome.
Because they are ethical and they care about this country. And I think I think that's something that really sets her apart, to make a high profile appointment to the cabinet.
Or two or three.
Or two. Yes. Yeah. Bring them, folks who care about the country, and let us look. I don't want to be surrounded by people. In my organization, my folks know that I'll say something. They say, with all due respect, Governor, that is a horrible idea and we should not do it. And that's, and I'm like, okay, good. Thank you for stopping me from doing that horrible idea.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
It's good.
I think I need
like
to know
giving
this
away, like giving away SUVs with every tractor. Yeah, that was a horrible idea.
I need to know before you leave what kind of snacks are on the plane or the car the truck.
Yeah, what settles you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I this just irritates, and I don't do it to irritate my pescatarian daughter. Beef jerky is my thing.
Sure.
And I'm homemade beef jerky, and Pete Buttigieg's in-laws made some, and he brought me some. And I like the idea of a friend bringing you homemade beef jerky and know that pleases you more than anything. So that's my
great
thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we just can't thank you enough for the trust to sit with us and your time. We're such big fans, and we wish you the best of luck and safety out there on the trail and bring us that W. We're going to do everything we can, and just couldn't be thrilled more thrilled that you're
thank
part
all
of this.
Three of you.
We are really honored, and your authentic self just shines through, and we're that authenticity is just so refreshing and great.
Yeah, no, this was big deal for me, you guys. Thank you for having me on. I'm big fan, and appreciate all you're doing.
Back at you. We really appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank
Tim.
You, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Have a great day.
That was great. Thank you.
You guys are the best. Hey, thank I didn't you. Get in on this. I heard you guys often when you're talking, the golf stuff. This is a thing, honest to God. I don't know if you know this. So I grew up in that really small town.
Yeah.
Sand green golf. $3 green fee. You know it?
I know about it.
What is sand green golf?
Oh, you got to hear this. This is
so wait. So set it up again so people know.
Yeah, so you grew up in Nebraska.
I did. Small town.
And you played golf there.
Played golf, and like everybody played golf, farmers, everybody, and it wasn't country club golf, it was sand green golf.
Yes,
and what it is so the greens are made out of sand, and they're oiled with vegetable oil. Well, in the old days, they were oiled with oil, which was not good.
I think that's what they do in the Middle East.
In Australia.
You rake the green with a path, and then you putt, and then you rake it again to put ridges in it. And they're little, like, postage stamp-sized greens, but it's a whole different game. But I hear you guys talk a lot about golf. You've got to get on a sand green golf course.
Once you've won and you want to take a little break, Jason and I will meet you in Nebraska. Let's go play some sand green golf.
All right, I'm working even harder now. We got to win.
We're going to find you.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks,
thank you, sir.
Let's get her done.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Bye, Tim.
Thank you, pal. Boy, that fella,
really cool.
He gives politicians a good name, and in my opinion.
In my opinion as well.
I'm with you.
He's the dad I always wanted.
And I know that there are a lot of people out there who don't want I get you saying in my opinion, but the one thing you can't knock is the guy's authenticity.
Yeah.
he's just such an authentic, real person, and it's great talking to him.
Right? Like, I mean, how can you not like that guy? I'm sure you you can disagree with some of his policies. I'm sure, but I'm so excited about the prospect of simply just having somebody represent me and the country I love, that I'm not sort of worrying about them saying something mean, nasty, offensive. He's just a guy I like to call my representative. I would be proud of that.
Same.
And also not a guy who's out there to enrich himself or protect himself and use the office as a way to avoid prosecution.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, truly. Yep. It's just so not self-serving. It's the opposite. It's public service, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty... I think the most jarring thing was seeing Mike Terry there at the end, who works with us, our producers, that he was actually in the room. Yeah, yeah. That he was there with Tim Wallace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I know, that's interesting. Interesting.
Right?
But I like him.
Did you guys have any questions that you didn't get to that you wanted to?
I wanted to mention this thing that there have been some fake fundraising emails that were going out.
Oh,
true.
Really?
Yeah. Right? That he was going to
Because we all get those.
About it.
Yeah.
But we get these fake ones that are coming from them, and they wanted to address them, and that I think they're working on it. And
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's got to be hard to track.
I want
to
know,
there's a lot of awful people out there.
I want to know what, bad, TV shows he watches. Or I wanted to know, if he has, a little game on his phone that when he has a little quiet moment, like we do with, Wordle or something. I bet he's got something fun in there.
He crushes
Something really silly.
Candy crushes it?
Yeah.
Candy Crush,
He's got a pretty full plate these
I know,
days.
But you've got to,
Like 2 minutes to,
You have to be able to, even if it's just, going into the bathroom and, just sitting down. You know, not even taking your pants down, but just hiding in a stall somewhere just to get some quiet.
Right.
I know. I know how he feels. I can't go anywhere.
I know it, sweetheart.
Oh, but isn't that a good idea, though, you guys, to Fox, CNN, it doesn't matter who you are, to split, instead of showing a map of this is all red, this is all blue state, just cut it in half and show us the percentages of each.
Well, they do actually.
Oh,
the great Steve Kornacki will go in there and he will zoom in and it will expand and you will see sort of the micro of each of these districts and states, and you will see how it is sort of, split up inside there.
All right, fine.
Yeah, it's true. Also, those maps are so deceiving because when you put it up against population,
it's always
centered.
Instead of the Electoral College.
How are we going to get rid of that Electoral College?
Yeah, we can't do it here from our stupid-ass podcast. We need smart folks in the government, and we're on our way, hopefully.
You know what I want to say to the Electoral College?
Uh-oh, here it comes, Willie.
Bye.
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 Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbago.
Smartless.